Welcome back to Geek Speak Radio. It's our fifth episode. We have Alex Papalexio and Harley Wang on the show today. What have you guys been playing recently? Alex?
Actually, nothing much still. It's been a couple... How long has it been since our last podcast, actually?
About a week and a half, I think.
A week and a half. Since then, nothing. Just same old Zelda. Also, now we recently got StarCraft. I'm playing that. StarCraft 2. And that's pretty much it.
How about you, Harley?
Yeah, so I'm playing StarCraft 2 exclusively. That's everything. That's all I'm playing.
Not much with me. I've been playing a bit of Guitar Hero World Tour for the Wii. Not much else beside that this week. Anyways, let's roll on to our first story. We have GamesCon just finished up in Germany, which is it's something similar to E3, but it's not as it's still pretty big, but I don't think it's as big as E3 yet.
Yeah, did it feature all three main competitors in the gaming industry, like Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft?
I think they had some kind of showing there, but nothing too big.
Yeah, I mean, the scale of it is definitely not that big, but, you know, there is definitely a following. And the big news is it's coming to Toronto, so.
Yeah. I guess we don't have too much information on GamesCon right now. I guess we'll move on to... another thing that you guys might be interested if you're in Toronto this weekend. We have Fan Expo happening this Friday to Sunday, August 27th to 29th, at the Metro Toronto Convention Center downtown. $65 for the 3 days, or Friday or Saturday for $35 each, or Sunday for $30. It's interesting that they'll have the PlayStation Move, Kinect, from Microsoft, and the 3DS there, which sounds pretty interesting.
Oh my goodness, the 3DS is there. I'm so going up for that.
You serious? Which day are you going?
I don't know. It's happening...
this weekend.
Oh my god, starting tomorrow, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know, I gotta think about it. I'm really good to go, though. If anyone else is willing to go.
For me, it's timed a little tight. Probably won't be able to go, but I'll see what happens.
Well, it's $30 for one day, though.
$30.
That is kind of expensive, I guess. But it really depends on what they have available. I mean, I guess we could read up on it Friday and Saturday just to see what other people are saying about it.
Yeah.
But it's a chance to try the 3DS that's not even out yet, though.
Yeah. Even without looking at the 3DS right now, I've taken a look at a 3D camera from Fujifilm. It looks pretty nice. There's a 2D and 3D mode to it. You have to be right in the sweet spot to really get that 3D effect to really pop out. I'm guessing it's something similar to that with the 3DS.
Yeah, because it's a small screen, so it's very limited for the viewing angle.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're just... nothing, never mind. I don't want to run things along.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, our next story is the Portal 2. Gets a release date of February 9th, 2011 for the 360, the PS3, and the PC.
So first off, did any of you play the first Portal by any chance?
I didn't have a chance when it came out.
Honestly, I never even heard of it until I saw this Portal 2 stuff.
But still looks interesting because you're opening up like a hole in the wall to solve puzzles to get out of like a maze or something like that. From
yeah, basically,
what I understand.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, it's kind of like a puzzle game, but like in 3D and you're like in first person shooter mode.
Yeah,
I've actually played it. I have the game on Steam, so most likely I'll probably pick it up once it comes out for PC. I think, you know, it really depends on the price. Portal has never been a full game. It's a sort of a budget title, if you will. So, it really depends on how much they're going to charge for it. But. I'll definitely be getting it for PC, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll definitely keep an eye on this one, because it is very interesting.
Yeah, same here. Our next topic is Konami is releasing No More Heroes Paradise for PS3 and the 360. And the PS3 version is getting Move support, but we haven't heard of anything for the 360 version getting support for the Kinect.
So much for Wii exclusivity.
Well, this is the first title kind of ported over, but still...
It's not a port, though.
It's kind of like a port spin-off.
So why why didn't they release this for the Wii? Do you know?
Not sure.
How did the first No More Heroes do on the Wii? Maybe that had something to do with it.
It did really well, actually.
There's a sequel to it.
Okay, so...
Yeah. I don't understand this, why they would have this for PS3 and Xbox 360.
Well, one thing you can be sure of is if they decide to use Kinect controls, it will not work. It just won't work.
Not at all.
I've seen demos of various games using Kinect, and it's just really not accurate. I mean, it's the accuracy is poor, so there are a lot of bugs.
I knew it wasn't going to be as advanced as they portray it to be, like in the original like E3 demos.
Like,
no, I think Kinect is fine for menu selection, for like, homepage selection, like, you know, when you're fooling around with your Miis on your Wii or something like that. But for like an actual game, I mean, like, if you screw up for like half a second, you're gonna get so upset, you're gonna just like destroy your Kinect.
Yeah, I know. And like the gaming controls need like complex, like, movements and things, like, things in the background kind of get in the way. Like, I don't see how Kinect could be such an advanced device that could be able to do that efficiently.
Right now, I don't see it really taking off, but maybe in, like, 5 years when they've really fleshed out this tech, maybe it'll have a chance to really blossom over time.
Perhaps we'll just have to wait this one out and see.
Yeah, I mean, and in No More Heroes, hopefully it will stay just as Xbox 360 on the controller. And even on PS3, hopefully it'll have, you can play it on the controller as well.
Yeah, you can do either or.
Yeah, okay, because I don't, first of all, I don't have the Move, and secondly, I'm not really a big fan of it, so.
It's a Wii knockoff, the Move.
Yeah, it's like several years too late.
Yeah, and for our next story is the PS3 is finally jailbroken through a USB dongle that costs $150. The good thing is that you can play your games from a hard drive, which has much faster loading times. But the bad thing is, if you jailbreak your PS3, you're pretty much banned once you connect online.
They can...
We were just talking about this during the pre-show, and it was if you have to spend $150 on a USB dongle, it's a lot of money to spend on an accessory that basically you can only use offline and limits your gaming abilities, or your how optimally you can play a game. It limits multiplayer, it limits online anything. So yeah, you have to pay $150, and right, like just today, right, you can get an Xbox 360 for $150. So it just goes to show you the scale and or how expensive that dongle is.
And really, the PlayStation Network can figure out what the units that are jailbroken.
Yeah.
Just by connecting.
If you just connect it to PSN, you're pretty much screwed if you want to play online.
I'm sure like there's a tweak or something where like it would make the network bypass the detection, so it will not, like...
Well, but look, hack it, because as soon as you hack it, they're just going to come out with a new program that'll detect the hack, and then you get banned immediately. So it becomes, like... Because you need online connectivity, it's impossible to hack. Basically, it's impossible to hack, at least in the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but, like, the iPhone, very similarly... It may be jailbroken, it can still function just fine, and Apple can't do anything about it.
Well, the way I see it is, if you hack your system to jailbreak it, that's still legal. But if you play burnt games on it, like illegally gotten games off of the internet, then that's illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but PS3, I mean, Sony has been really strong and really, really upfront with the whole movement to not have or forget jailbreak or even like downloaded games or something like that. They've never been a fan of that.
Yeah, because they recently taken away the other OS function from the old PS3s, like the PS3 FATs.
Yeah, they killed. Oh, they also killed UMDs, right? You have to download, or they recommend that you download games now.
For the PSP Go.
Yeah.
Basically. But I think they still sell the UMDs, don't they?
Yeah, but if you buy a Go, you can't use the... There's no UMD drive.
Yeah, and even the publishers aren't even supporting the Go, because like, most of them aren't even publishing a lot of their games on the Go, because not too many people are buying the Go, and it's just clunky.
I mean, like downloadable content is a really good idea, but they should not rule out the physical media. Like, that is going a step backward.
Yeah, like, all of us have been growing up with physical media, with, like, DVDs, physical cartridges for games for the past, like, 20, 25 years.
Yeah, it's a simple concept. It's a gaming console, and, like, most of the kids will be playing it. And, like, kids don't have credit cards and, like, things like that. So, like, they want to be able to trade, like, give games out to friends or borrow themselves or, like, do whatever they want with them. Like,
but with next gen, they're talking about how they don't want players to share games or, like, you know, sell used games or buy used games because it reduces their revenue that way, right? Like, they make more money if every time someone wants to play a game, they have to buy the new version.
It's all about greed, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why they have everything online, right? Everything, all games now, the major part of the game is its online play. So
even StarCraft, if you want to play one player, you still need to be able to connect online to play it. The single mode, single player mode. I mean,
yeah, like look at StarCraft 2. You have to connect, right? Yeah.
You need to log in if you want to play this campaign. Like that's how controlled it is.
That's basically all games are going to be like that in the future.
It's a little hard with a handheld because you can not all the time will you be able to connect to an internet connection to really do that.
Yeah.
But if you have like a PC or a home console system, then you might be able to do that.
Yeah, but they want you to like there's rumors saying that next gen like handhelds are gonna have like it's almost like they have a data plan and or you can attach your data plan to your gaming system, and allow online play that way.
Yeah, because I've heard go ahead, Alex.
No, I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah.
They're actually planning to do that. There's a company in Japan called Docomo. They're a phone company and also a cell service provider. They're planning to put 3G chips into not the 3DS and the PSP2, but possibly the generation after that. We'll be seeing like 3G chips into our gaming consoles.
Yeah, pretty much anything that gets online, they can monitor, and anything they can monitor, it prevents you from modding your system in any way.
That's going into a really scary direction, where like Big Brother is watching over you, like you have no control of what you own.
Basically, I mean, yesterday, like Andrew was talking about how Final Fantasy is only gonna allow you to play 1 hour a day.
That is pretty ridiculous.
Like, they limit your gameplay.
It totally blows because would want to play a game just for 1 hour a day. Like, every one of us probably plays, like, 2-3 hours straight for, like, a single gaming session.
Well, no, if you're gonna play, you're gonna play. Like, don't... you know, no one's going to say, well, I'm going to sit down and play and just play for an hour, right? I mean,
yeah.
And you're paying monthly fees too, so it's kind of a ripoff. I mean, the so-called fatigue system, that's kind of hilarious.
If you're going to have a fatigue system, at least make it like 2-3 hours before you cut them off.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but basically, man, everything is going to be, well, they want more control over not just like what kind of games you're playing, but like how you play the games and your system as well and everything. So it's all about control and all about ways to sell more games, basically.
It's all greed. They don't care about the quality of the game. They just want to sell, sell, sell. Honestly, they're making so many sequels every year with the same game. Like, I don't even know. Like, Portal, for instance. Like, I never even heard of Portal until I saw this for Portal 2.
Now, moving on to the next. Topic. I mean, look. Sony may charge for online gameplay. That's kind of another move to get more money, right?
Yeah, they're already charging for PlayStation Network Plus already, and an extra, like, $50 or $60.
So they're going in the direction of Xbox Live, pretty much.
Yeah. Because they're thinking of adding like a $10 fee for every game or something like that before you can, like, as like an unlock code for playing online.
Wait, $10 to unlock your game to play online?
Or something like that.
For every game?
That's what I've...
Reduce PS3 game price, like at the store price, by $10, then I'll do it. But... other than that, I mean, that's just asking you to pay $10 more for a game that's already $69.99.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Just too much already with the 360 and PS3 game price. It's already $60-$70 for a blockbuster title. Even with the Wii, it's getting expensive. It's like $40 to $50 for most, like $40 to $60 for most games for the Wii. It's getting pretty expensive these days to really game.
Like I said before, it's all about the greed. I understand. Like, they should, if they want to avoid piracy and things like that, they should make their products a lot more affordable so people won't have to pirate them. That's a pretty simple concept, don't you think?
Some people can't figure that out, apparently.
Like, they try to force you to go online just to play a certain game. Maybe instead, like, you offer a cheaper price and still have the anti-piracy thing, but don't have such so much control over it. Yeah, and they'll still make a lot of revenue.
For paying, like, basically, if it's a good game, as long as they make a good game, I'm willing to pay monthly fees. As long as, because, like, realistically, I'm not going to play that game for a long time anyways, right? Like, after a couple of months, I'll probably just, it'll just sit there. I'll trade it in for something. So if I could just pay like a couple of months and play it and they can charge me a subscription fee, then I'm fine with that. And that will prevent piracy and whatever, right? So,
like, if they sold something like World of Warcraft for like $30 and like $5 a month or something like that, I'm pretty sure a lot more people would be playing that game.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, because, like, almost every year or every other year, you see, like, expansion packs for games like StarCraft, Diablo, and, like, World of Warcraft.
Yeah, or you can do, like, microtransactions. Like, now new games, what they do is basically you get the game for free, and then things inside the game, so, like, if you want to buy a really powerful item or a character or a map or something, then you pay for it. So then you basically it's customized to your needs. And it prevents piracy because it's based on your account, right? So
yeah.
You can never really sell your account. But, like, that'll really, like, that'll allow, I think that'll prevent piracy. And it's a really good way for all different types of players to play the game. Because some players might want to, you know, go all out and spend a whole bunch of money getting all the features. And some will just, you know, enjoy the basic features, right? So, like, it serves... to a wide gradient of gamers, and it prevents piracy at the same time. So I think that's a really great idea. A lot of last time, or a couple episodes back, that's basically their system. The game is essentially free, but to get certain characters you can pay to get them, or you can play a lot and earn points to get them. So it appeals to a lot of different people.
Yeah, this pretty much is the exact same concept of a game called Conquer. It's a free game. Anyone can download it, install it. You can play it start right off the bat. Just make a free account, play your character. And like, if you want to get advanced things, or like you want to spend so much time making the money and stuff, you can just pay money and you get a certain item to like increase your
stats.
Your stats and your equipment and stuff like that, and your level, if you want to waste the time to build your character yourself. So a very similar thing.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, if they want to charge something for online or charge something for an item, they have to charge it for a purpose. Like, Sony charging us online when they gave it to us for free is just kind of like they were looking at Microsoft and charging online as well. And then they're not giving you anything more.
Yeah. What I can see is if I give like a flat fee per year to play online functionality, I can see that happening. Like with what they're doing with the Xbox Live. But if you're adding $10 per game, that's way too much for like the regular consumer to play online, and gonna alienate a lot of the players that you've gained over the years that you've done business.
Well, yeah, what happens to the games that you already own online? Can you still play them online?
They're thinking of adding that fee onto the games you already own today.
So like, oh, that's just so like one day I can play it online, the next day I have to pay $10.
Something like that.
That just destroys your gaming library.
Well, they just saw it as a money-making scheme. Like, you know, there's millions of Call of Duty players, and if they charge that extra $10, they make so much money off that. Crazy.
Yeah. Anyways, just starting to get a little off track. We'll move on to the next topic. We have UDraw for the Wii with something like a Wacom-like tablet board you can draw with. I think this is a good idea for kids like 5 to 10 that might be interested in art, possibly like digital, like art in the digital world, and get them interested in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree. It's mainly for kids or like adults who just want to play for fun.
Yeah.
But for serious people, I mean, serious graphics people, Wacom is like, it's not even comparable. You're not going to go on the Wii to do graphics editing. That's just not, like, it's just not possible. Yeah.
But, like, in a way, it's a step in the right direction. Like, it kind of promotes interactivity between you and the game. For example, yeah. Like, if you want, like, for even for the casual gamers, like, Pictionary, instead of wasting paper, you just use the Wii, you do your drawing things on that. It's just something to have on a very, like, informal kind of way.
Yeah, it's definitely innovative.
Yeah.
There is a Yeah, there is a similar game to that on the DS, the DSiWare, where it's like Pictionary on the screen, and you have to draw a picture, pass it to the next person, they have to write the word that correlates with that picture. The third person draws another picture that what they think the word should look like, and keeps on continuing like that.
Yeah, it's
really cool. Another dimension to game, to the Wii.
Any idea on the price?
I think it's $70. It's a little on the expensive side, but hey, it's cheaper than the Wacom boards. It costs about $200 each.
How large is the?
I think it's 7 inches.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I think it's about 7 inches for the board. And then it connects to the Wiimote, which gives it the Bluetooth connectivity to the Wii.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad, I guess. $70 is okay. It's like the equivalent of a low-end Wacom tablet.
The low-end Wacom board is about $150.
And the Wii Fit Balance Board is the same price range, isn't it?
It's
about $100.
It was 89.
With the game,
back.
It was like
89.
So you could safe to say it's like pretty much same range.
Yeah.
We gotta see. It's only just for this one game. That's all right now.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, yeah, I've just got to see how this develops. If there are any other games that are released for it, that would kind of make the peripheral more useful instead of just, a cheap add-on, you know, just to make more money.
I doubt they'll have anything else for it right now, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to our next story. Researchers at London's City University turned to the Wii for speech loss therapy. It's another use for the Wii, since they've used it for physical therapy for people like that have had strokes or have previous injuries. So this is another use for it. Any opinions on it?
It's a good idea. Well, definitely. I mean, it's good to see that you can use gaming devices and just games in general for purposes. I think we've seen some stories before on how, you know, they're getting old people or people in
nursing homes.
They helps them with their exercise and daily activity and things like that. And then they had brain age, which was, you know, keeping people sharp, apparently.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of the same deal. I mean, whether or not it's really going to go mainstream, like you're going to walk into the doctor's office and they're going to give you a Wii to play with, I don't really know if that's going to happen anytime soon. But, yeah, it's good to see that happening.
Yeah, so I guess we'll move on to our next story, which is Metroid. We're going to see it getting released next week. What are you guys' opinions on the gameplay and such that we've seen on trailers so far?
Alex, you want to start? You have the pre-order.
True. I was just looking on other sites like Infendo.com. And there was a review for it. They happened to have the game before it was released. And they, for some reason, it was apparently mixed. They say it doesn't live up to its hype, this and that. Like, it's more movie-oriented, not more about the game where it got the series popular in the first place. So, like, from the first, you know, impressions of the game, like, I kind of feel a little, what's the word for it?
Uneasy?
Underwhelmed. Honestly, from what I've seen from the trailers and stuff, it looks really good. But even from the gameplay standpoint, I just have to wait till this game comes out and see what happens.
In my opinion so far, like, adding the voice acting for Samus is another dimension in her character, I guess. Even though it's unorthodox for Nintendo's characters to have voices, like Link or Mario, they don't have voices. They might give you like a grunt or something, but nothing much more than that.
Yeah. And before, it was part of the Metroid mystery that you never actually saw Samus's face up until, I think it was Metroid Prime, the first one. Wow. And then you saw her full body afterward, and then with the Zero suit. And now she's coming with a voice, so it's kind of changing the series in that direction.
Well, I think they've saturated, like, previous Metroid games. They've pretty much done whatever they could, so they gotta move on to really keep the series going, or else it's gonna feel repetitive. So it's kind of a natural progression. I've seen the...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But still, something different that they're mixing it up, because this is a collaboration with a Team Ninja they're doing it with. So it's a 2.5D scroller.
Yeah. Do you have any idea if this is a multiplayer game at all?
No, I think it's a pure single player game, but it's still gonna be majorly fun.
What I always wanted in the Metro game is multiplayer, and they only gave it to us in Metro Prime 2.
And Hunters.
That wasn't really
And Hunters.
Like, it wasn't strong. The multiplayer wasn't that good.
Yeah, it kind of... It did its job. Like, you can shoot around, whatever, have quick games and stuff, but it's not, like, hardcore. Like, Hunters was. Like, I really liked Hunters.
and I don't understand why it's not even big right now, but that's what type of game I want right now. In a way, it'll kind of compete with Halo too.
Yeah, I think even in MP2, they revamped all the controls for Metroid Prime Trilogy, which is all in Wii controls, so it's kind of better in that way, I guess.
Yeah. But I wanted to see them add on to that, like add in like the extra hunters from like Metroid Prime 3 and ones from Metroid Prime Hunters. Like, it adds so much playability. Like, I don't understand why they did not pursue that. And I'm sure they would have a whole new audience if they just added that multiplayer feature, too. Which would be comparable to, like, Halo and such.
And that's why...
And Halo's massive right now.
That's why Halo is so huge right now, still. It's because of the multiplayer maps and all the weapons that are in there.
Yeah, if you think about it, if there was no multiplayer in Halo, do you think they would have released, like, 8 games?
Or probably stopped at like Halo after Halo 3 if they didn't have multiplayer. I don't think many of the gamers that we know would have gotten Halo, kept on buying it.
They probably wouldn't even have made Halo 2 or 3 if it wasn't for multiplayer.
Yeah, that's what I remember back in the days of high school, like when there were like public functions, like everyone was playing Halo or Super Smash Brothers, but like Halo was bigger.
Yeah. Well, Super Smash Bros. Was a fan service from Nintendo.
Yeah.
We'll move on to our next story. Nintendo is bringing pretty much everything that they showed in E3, except for the 3DS and Zelda, to Penny Arcade Expo, which is pretty neat, but... Even though we'd probably like to see the 3DS and Zelda out there as well.
I don't know too much information about this, so I can't really add on to it.
Yeah, the Penny Arcade Expo is, I think, in New York. I'm not 100% sure. Or Boston. It's somewhere up north, not in LA, from what I remember.
Well, I think it's kind of surprising that they're not bringing the 3DS, because that's kind of going to be their flagship handheld for the next while, so they should promote it as much as possible.
They're already starting to do that with the Fan Expo up in Toronto, here in Toronto, this weekend.
Yeah, but, you know, they should do it as often as they can. You know, any opportunity, they should really get it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, for example, 3DS, the 3D function, you can't really see it through a regular monitor screen. So you would have to, like, play it firsthand and see for yourself how it would be like.
Well, yeah, you don't need to sell, like, Zelda, because everybody knows what it is, right?
Yeah.
But with 3DS, it's new stuff, right? So if it's something new, you really want to, you want people to experience it, you want people to see it.
You got to expose it, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
I guess we'll move on to our next story, which is you two have StarCraft 2. I'm still out of the loop for that game right now, so I'll let you guys run with that story.
Well, StarCraft 2, like, what can I say? Like, it's really good. It's really addicting. It keeps the same charm from the very first one. That was out, like, 10 years ago. But they just... Oh, really? All they did was update the graphics, which they badly needed.
And, Basically, you could just say good. So, like, that's the best way to describe this game.
I'm sorry, what you just said right there, I didn't hear a single word.
Cut off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So basically, what Alex said about it being just a really good game. I think that's the best way to describe it. It keeps all the good things about the first one, and it adds more. It adds better multiplayer. It adds accomplishments. It adds better graphics, better gameplay, better controls, better macros. It's just,
a better overall structure.
Yeah, it's just, it's plain good. So get it.
like, let's say if you like StarCraft 1, StarCraft 2 is no doubt, like, you're buying it. Like, you can't argue with that.
Well, I mean, the value is really high because, like, StarCraft 1 came out 10 years ago. People are still playing it today.
So StarCraft 98, to be exact, so it was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's, like, tons of people in, like, Korea that are still playing it professionally.
Yeah, and it was so hype. People were waiting for, like, when is StarCraft 2 coming? When is it coming to? And Blizzard kept have to push it back. And then they finally released it this year.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be released, like 2 years ago.
Yeah. But, no, I think, like, what they did was they broke it into three parts, which is kind of, like, I was kind of upset by that because it's a cash grab. But realistically, I think it's worthwhile because if you look at Wings of Liberty, the game itself, it has 30 missions. The cinematics, are really high end. It feels like a complete game, even though it's part one of three. It offers a lot more content than some of the other games out there that charge similar prices.
I would like to see everything just all bunched into one thing. As you said, it is a cash grab. But, like, I guess the game is so big, they can't really fit it all into one installment. Because the game itself right now is, like, what, 16 gigabytes?
Like, Wings of Liberty, right? You can tell, like, it's a pretty complete game. It offers a lot more than some of the other games out there that are equivalent price, so. Yeah.
Well, in a way, it's good that they're breaking up into, like, three parts or something like that. Like, three campaign modes.
Yeah, because this one focuses on the human race, which is Terran. And then the other two will focus on the Zergs and the Protoss. So it kind of evens out, like, the expose. Lost my train of thought again. Go, Harley.
No, it's just, like, basically what it is they broke in the first StarCraft. They had three parts, and it was, like, around 10 missions each. And in the second one, you're getting 30 missions per race. So you're getting 30 missions for Terran, 30 missions for Zerg, 30 missions for Protoss. Yeah. So it's just a much larger game. And they've expanded the story. They've bettered, like, one. And the cinematics and production value is just really high. So if you haven't picked it up now, you should really go out and get it.
Yeah. But a lot of critics are bashing it because they say they haven't really added anything. They haven't really improved on the gameplay itself. It's essentially the same game.
That's because the game is perfect. So you can't improve on perfection.
Exactly. That's what we're saying. But there's those people who are, like, really, like, nitpicking at it.
Yeah, I'm guessing I'm guessing over the past, like, 10 to 12 years, they've really refined the game over whatever they've done in the first one.
The game was so balanced to begin with. It's very
hard.
Again, a word I'm looking for, I lost my train of thought. Someone just continue on. Marcus or Harley.
Talk about balance. Blizzard has a team of people, like a whole team of people, that play the game to make sure it's balanced. They have a department for balancing. That's crazy. Like, it's not just for StarCraft. It's for any Blizzard game. They have a team of people that play games, and they try to balance the game as best they can. That's, like, the best job in the world.
Who doesn't want to play StarCraft? Who doesn't want to play StarCraft for 8 hours a day for the job?
Basically, play it before everyone else and get to play units that people will never get to see. And just awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome sauce.
Yeah. Guess we'll move on to our next topic, which is Diablo 3. Blizzard is having some pretty big plans for it at BlizzCon this year. I'm definitely excited for what they have in store for whatever they're going to announce at BlizzCon this year.
I think it's the BlizzCon. It's totally worth going. And, with Diablo 3, look for, I think there's going to be new trailers out. There's probably going to be a beta phase just like they did with StarCraft. So if you can associate yourself with Blizzard in any way possible and get, like, a beta key or something, it'll be totally worth it.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add on to that?
I don't have anything to add on to that.
Diablo, I'm not really familiar with Diablo, but obviously it's a Blizzard game. It's very popular. It's more of an action.
It's an RPG, and just basically,
it's sort of like World of Warcraft in a way, as it's an MMO.
Sort of, yeah. But it's not really an MMO. It's more, although I don't know, with Diablo 3, they might make it more of an MMO. I'm not sure. But there's definitely going to be a story around it.
BlizzCon.
If you can go to BlizzCon, or if you can somehow get yourself a beta key, if they're offering it, and try it out. But I'm definitely excited about it. Not sure if I'm going to get it right away, but eventually I'll definitely pick it up.
Yeah, I'll look into this. I'll really consider it, see if it's good enough.
Yeah, I'll definitely at least get the demo and see what's up with it first. Then if it's worth getting for me, I'm going to buy the game outright. I guess we'll move on to our next... do you guys have anything else on this topic?
I'm good.
I'm okay.
Yeah, we'll move on to the next story we have. We have two movies up for review today. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World and The Expendables. They came out the same weekend of August the 13th. Yeah, Friday the 13th as well, too. Yeah, with I've watched Scott Pilgrim vs. the World twice already. It's based on the Scott Pilgrim comic books. There's a total of 5 books out right now. A 6th one coming up pretty soon. It's a really good crossover of a video game / comic to a movie. It's tons of video game and comic book references and draws from retro titles like Zelda and Sonic. They actually sent a clip of the footage to Miyamoto for him to okay the music that was put into Zelda. And some of the ideas as well that were kind of in the Zelda games as well. The art style is very comic book-like, so either you love it or you won't like it at all. Overall, yeah. It's a pretty good movie.
But that's the thing right there. I mean, it's a fantastic movie if you're into it or if you're familiar with the culture.
Yeah.
Doing pretty poorly at the box office in relative comparison to some of the other movies out there is because the fan base is just not as wide or as broad as you'd like it to be.
Yes.
Very specific, and only people that only people like us would get the references they make. And
yeah, it's in a bit of a niche market there, but still a great movie nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's sad that it's not getting recognized. To be it's not being recognized as a top notch movie. It's being seen as a kind of a movie with a cult following.
Yeah.
I agree.
Alex, what the hell is happening at your end?
Are you moving again?
No.
Like massive roaring sounds.
Oh, what about now?
It's all good.
Okay, but like just a couple seconds ago.
Sorry.
Like an earthquake.
My bad. I won't do that again. I was shifting myself in the computer. I just happened to make a lot of noise.
Yeah. Overall rating for me for this movie is 8.5 out of 10. We'll move on to our next movie, which is Expendables. Just a lot of major action stars like Stallone, Jet Li, Schwarzenegger, the guy from the Old Spice commercial. There's the story isn't too fleshed out. A bit of a slow startup for me. The explosions are a huge part of a movie. Major reason why it's a really fun summer movie for me, at least.
Yeah, honestly, I still have no idea what the movie was about. I remember there was a girl, and they were trying to rescue her, and then a lot of explosions. Which made my day, so,
Yeah, first of all, you don't understand what he's saying. And then nobody gets the story. It's really slow in the beginning. You have random scenes here and there. And then the ending is just, massive explosions. So basically, they could have shortened the movie to just the end where everything blows up.
I know.
And essentially, it's like a 2-hour Old Spice commercial.
Exactly. For those of you who know, you know.
Because the guy that does the Old Spice commercials on there, or the guy that used to do the Old Spice commercials, and he has like this wicked gun that blows everything up, so it's totally awesome.
Yeah, it ties in well with the Old Spice thing.
Yeah, like half the explosions in the movie comes from his gun, so it's it's pretty crazy.
Boom!
The reason for the explosions is the Old Spice guy in there. Anyways,
I would not have been too surprised if this movie was sponsored by Old Spice. Like, if you see at the end of the credits and you just see a giant Old Spice logo.
Yeah. What rating are you going to give this movie?
Because it's a typical action movie. Like, very popular actors. A lot of explosions. I'm going to say not enough girl. But I'll give it a good 7 out of 10. It's just average to me.
I'm gonna give it a 6 out of 10. I just think that like they could have had more explosions.
Yeah. You never have too many explosions for sure.
Well, I mean, they could have made more things explode in the beginning because the start was really slow. And...
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 6.5 out of 10. Could have used a bit more storyline and a lot more explosions.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, the ending was awesome because you know it was all explosions. But if you're not gonna have a story, you gotta give us explosions. So one or the other,
or both.
Yeah. I guess. Or not. I would like to have more than one girl starring in the movie.
Yeah.
Like it was just the main girl in distress. You know, only her, no one else. Like what the heck is everyone?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Anyway, so moving on, you know, anything else to the subject you need to add on to?
I guess that's it for this movie for today. We'll move on to, we have a couple more things on the list. I'm not sure if we covered this before. It looks familiar, but I'm not 100% sure. Fujifilm's new 3D camera is trying to edge its way into the mainstream. It's a little more streamlined from the last model that they have. It's a little thinner, and it looks pretty nice as well. With a, although 3D is a bit of a gimmick for cameras at the moment. Any opinions on this device?
Harley, you want to say something?
Hold on. Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead. What are you gonna say?
Actually, nothing much, because 3D is still kind of relatively new, and like it just feels all of a sudden everyone's just trying to jump into it.
Well, yeah, you know, prices are going to drop for sure. Whatever they're selling it at, I guarantee you it's going to be like half the price in a couple years.
Yeah, it's like it's the same price as what Blu-ray players were 5 years ago. It's like $1,000 for this unit.
Yeah, didn't someone say like the 3DS is going to be able to do 3D pictures as well? So
yeah, it's
if you're in it for gimmicks, I mean, you know, you might as well get the DS and fool around with that, and then when you're done with it, you can actually play games.
Yeah, and the DS is rumored to be priced around $200 to $250 at the moment, which is reasonable. I wouldn't pay more than $300 for a handheld.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, 10 years down the road when inflation gets up there, but today, there's no ways, or any of the gamers here...
Well, there's just too many alternatives. You can get a PS3, man.
I guess we'll move on to the next story. Toshiba is going to release 3 glasses-free 3D TVs by the end of 2010, my bad. Which is pretty cool because it's using the same technology that the 3DS has for its glasses-free 3D screen.
This might have the same restriction that the 3DS has because, you know, you have to be at a certain angle to get that sweet spot to get that 3D effect.
Obviously, like, it will have that sweet spot, but it's like...
For the 3D TV though, yeah. Like you wouldn't have a larger viewing angle, and I don't think they'd be able to like properly if like execute that. I don't know. Like they're still in development, so we gotta see.
Sitting in a room, someone's gonna have a better 3D view than someone else, so that's gonna be the main problem.
Yeah.
I think the optimal size for these is at least 36 inches plus to really get a good viewing angle for more than like 3 or 4 people. I'm pretty sure these TVs have like a regular 2D screening.
Oh yeah, for sure they're gonna have regular 2D, but it's just if you're gonna buy a 3D TV, you're paying
premium dollar.
So you might as well like you really have. Well, first of all, I'm not gonna buy a 3D TV that's only 30 something inches because might as well go all out and buy like a big one, right?
Yeah. At least like a 46.
You gotta get a mortgage to pay for that.
Because these things cost at least like $2,000 to $3,000 to at least start off with a basic unit.
But I gotta say though, like I've tried the Sony 3D TV like that they had in display in the store, and it was amazing. Like nothing else I could say about that. But like the price,
the ones with the goggles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dorky glasses that you have to put on.
Yeah, that's the downside. But like, just from the experience you get from the 3D effect is pretty nice. But I would say like it would get straining on the eyes after a while because I started to feel a bit
dizzy.
Not dizzy, but like just not. I'm not comfortable.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And the thing with those glasses, they cost like at least $200 to $250 for each one of those glasses. So. Like you'll get like 2 with the TV.
I know what you mean, but look, I'd be willing to pay for the goggles and for the monitor or whatever. It just for gaming, I wouldn't necessarily pay for television. It's just day to day watching TV. I don't really want to put glasses on just to watch.
And I don't think there are any 3D like TV programs
as of right now. They're barely even getting everything in HD. I don't think 3D stuff will really take off for the next 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, but like video games, you can render 3D. Like you can make them 3D.
Yeah, so they're already.
Yeah, currently PS3 games they have 3D.
There are a few titles for the PS3 that are already slated for 3D, like Killzone 3. There's like a 3D mode and a regular 2D mode that's coming out, and that's coming out next year, like early next year.
If you have any game that you make into 3D, especially first-person shooters, it'll be a much more immersive experience.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. Shoot.
Yeah, even when you're watching movies on like a 50-inch like LCD that's a 3D, it gives you a much more sense of a depth that's within the movie.
Yeah, I agree. No, movies and games. But like, if you're watching, like for example, day-to-day TV, like if you're watching the news, who cares if it's 3D or not, right? Like, who cares if the weather is shown in 3D? It's not going to make a difference.
Yeah. In that sense, it'll kind of be a gimmick.
Yeah.
For television programming. But like, for the movies and games, yeah, for sure. Like, especially for those Call of Duty fans and, like other, like, Halo type of games.
Yeah.
It would be a really immersive experience, for sure. Because it's by playing on the Sony 3D TV, playing this race car game, it felt so real. Like, as if you're standing above them. And you can have a depth perception of how far a certain thing is.
Yeah, same thing with Kid Icarus Uprising. They have that 3D screen for the game, which is going to be great for that game because there's a lot of like shooting down random enemies.
Yeah, and on a regular screen, you won't be able to tell how far or how close something is. Really.
Yeah. I guess we've spent enough time on this topic. Our next thing is that Apple is planning to put in touchscreens for their iMacs and their MacBook laptop as well, which is a pretty good idea because their somewhat lagging behind on the touchscreen generations on their full screen computers.
This is either a hit or a miss, because the MacBooks and MacBook Pros, they're designed for like regular day-to-day computing, and I can't really say because I haven't really had a computer or played around with one that has a touchscreen capability besides like an iPhone, but that doesn't really count.
Well, I've actually had a chance to use a laptop with touchscreen before, and I can tell you that it's not really, I would say that it day-to-day use, you're not going to use it that much. Maybe you can use it during presentations, and I guess that's really it. You can't even draw on it. Like the accuracy or the precision is not good enough to like do editing or whatever you want on those kinds of on tablets, like on like touch screens. You need to get like an actual tablet to get the actual precision that you
want. For example, like the MacBook has a keyboard on it. It's going to be kind of awkward, like pointing at a screen in front of you. Like
you can use it for presentations, like just to draw like an arrow or to circle something, but to like really go into detail, you can't. It's not good enough. It's just
I think this is where the like something like the iPad would come in, because it's a tablet pretty much.
Yeah.
And whatever.
Well, and also, like, I don't know about you guys, but like with laptops, I hate it when there are fingerprint marks on my screen. So.
Yeah. Same thing with my phone. Like once it gets all greased up, I usually wipe it down.
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of touchscreen on laptops anyways. I mean, it's just messy.
Well, there are the anti-fingerprint, like, matte kind of glass.
But you still do see the fingerprints all covering those screens.
Hmm.
I guess we've kind of exhausted this topic for today. Two new sagas, or old school sagas, that are coming to Blu-ray, which is Back to the Future, all three movies, and I think the entire Star Wars saga, 1-6, is coming to Blu-ray as well. Which is pretty big, because most of us grew up with watching Back to the Future and Star Wars back in the day, and the newer Star Wars trilogy with Anakin Skywalker.
I mean, what's to say about it? I mean, they're bringing back the classics in the higher resolution, like they have for the, what was it, the Lord of the Rings.
I'm still trying to decide whether or not it's worthwhile getting in Blu-ray if you already have the remastered versions in DVD. I mean, I know, like, obviously Blu-ray offers a lot more in resolution than, you know, DVD, but it's just, it's only a marginal difference. And to rebuy the entire collection, it could get a little pricey.
And especially, like, Back to the Future and Star Wars, like, when they were in production, it was a couple decades ago, and I don't think the technology back then would have been, like, high-definition gray that is now.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily justify putting onto like 1080p. You might not notice the difference between Blu-ray and like DVD. It's not like Final Fantasy Advent Children where there's like a significant difference because of technology. But like, you can only remaster something to a certain point. You can't.
Yeah, to a certain point, it's still good. But I'm pretty sure they're gonna add a lot more back, like story, like a lot of stuff that they didn't put onto the older Blu-ray, older discs or tapes that they are going to do with these Blu-rays.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll just have to wait and see what people say about them when it does come out. And maybe they'll give us a taste of what it looks like. And if it's actually a significant difference, then it would definitely be a good buy.
Yeah.
No.
Well, with the Star Wars saga, I'm a pretty big fan of it, so I'm probably going to get it sometime in the future. Like, might not be a release date purchase for me, but I'm definitely going to check out the Star Wars saga and probably going to buy it. Back to the Future, I'll have to really look at what they have in the special feature department before really investing money in it again.
Yeah, I agree. Star Wars before Back to the...
Yes.
What they're offering before you buy it. If it's exactly the same thing as your DVD version, I mean, this is going to be like a couple... It's going to be like, what, $100, $200? So it's
yeah.
a pretty big investment.
Yeah. I don't know. It makes you think, like, is it really... Could it be a cash grab, you know? Just say, oh, it's on Blu-ray now. Come get it, you know? It'll look better than ever. But, like, you know, even the remastered version on the DVD, did it really look that much better than...
If you've looked between the original footage of Star Wars and the remastered version, there is a huge difference in, like, quality.
You know, but it's just I think it's going to be a marginal difference between
DVD
and DVD
Blu-ray. Remastered and Blu-ray remastered. There will be some difference if you know where to catch it.
Yeah. I might trade it in, like, you know, like if there's some sort of a trade-in where I could trade in my old DVDs and pay a little bit more to get the Blu-ray, I'd do that. But if I was just gonna buy two copies, I mean, it's kind of redundant.
Yeah.
But also, the Blu-rays would have better audio capabilities as well. So if you're into that, like having like a surround sound system, it will sound that much better on a Blu-ray than compared to a DVD.
And I guess what Marcus said was right. Like, you know, with extra content, if they have like, you know, never before seen stuff, that's kind of worth getting.
Because there is like a kind of like a deleted scene with a Star Wars, I think Episode 6. They pulled it out like, Luke was in some kind of robe or something, and, like, kind of, like, make a call or something to Darth Vader. They took it out since it wasn't really, like, with, kind of ruined the storyline. I guess we'll move on to our, next story. Netflix is coming to the iPhone and the iPod Touch. And you can use a 3G network to watch on your iPhone as well. And
well, about time. Like, this should have been done way when Netflix first was established. You know, this was an offer media over the internet, so the iPhone, for example, could go on the internet anytime. I don't understand why it took so long to come up with this thing.
Yeah, I can understand that it takes a bit of time but to develop the software for it, but... just taking a little too long for them to finally be coming out with it now.
Well, finally glad that, you know, it's offering service in Canada and that we have some sort of, you know, a media streaming service.
Yeah, finally. We're still missing
right
Hulu and Pandora up here.
Yeah. No, I'm
also
waiting for it to get on the PS3.
It's on the PS3. It's on the PS3.
Already?
In the States, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm waiting for it to you know, to have service in Canada.
Yeah, this fall, they're probably going to bring it up here with the PS3 as well.
Yep.
Yeah, but also, no, I have something else to add on, but, like, after the story.
I guess we're pretty much done with the story anyway, so.
Yeah, because, I don't know if you heard of iTunes. Is coming something up to rival Netflix and like Hulu and other services like that by offering 99-cent TV rentals. But this 99 cents, you pay $1 and you can watch anything for 48 hours. So it's very comparable.
And is it $1 per view, isn't it?
No. Read on a recent article, but I just sort of read it right now.
I think it's like $1 for...
Well, it has to be unveiled first, but according to rumors, well, like reliable rumors, that you pay 99 cents and you can watch any TV show that they have on their whatever, on their server, for 48 hours.
You can watch it as many times as you want within that
time. Stream it, yeah.
48 hours? So yeah. It's like around $15 a month, right?
So it's pretty much the same thing as Netflix would be. But this way, it kind of offers more flexibility, because if you're not a person who really watches much at all during a month, you can just pay like once in a while and then watch
Or pay whenever you want to watch
it. Or wherever you want to watch, yeah. But if it's actually confirmed and it's true, you pay $1 for 48 hours.
I must have misread, because I think for some reason I read it was 99 cents per view, like per watching a video once, and I thought that was like crazy expensive.
Yeah, that is crazy expensive. You might as well buy the episode. Like, each episode is like $1.99 for a show, and like, you might as well buy it if you want to pay $1 per view.
Yep, no, but you know, I think we could all agree that we're just waiting for Netflix to come to Canada and to set up on whatever console or whatever media box or whatever TV, and so that we can all start watching TV and or watching commercial-free TV.
Yeah.
For like $15 a month or whatever.
Because I'm pretty sure that most of us don't watch like a huge amount of TV besides maybe the news and like the random show or two. Yeah, I think this is, do you guys have anything else on this kind of, idea, or any other ideas you guys want to talk about?
Talking about the online TV streaming service, like, I think this would be killing cable television, pretty much.
Yeah, it would be, but I really don't care, because I'm sick and tired of watching, like, I'm sick and tired of watching commercials, and I'm sick and tired of watching, like, a series, you know, like, one episode per week, and then having to wait until the next week to watch that episode, or to watch the next episode.
See, I don't mind waiting a couple
of days. Well, it would be the same thing if you're watching a current season. Obviously, you're going to have to wait every week anyway.
I don't mind as
long... Fine, but it gives you a flexibility to watch whenever you want.
Yeah. I don't mind as long as it's commercial-free. But there are some shows that are only on cable these days.
Yeah, and it's a lot cheaper than cable, so.
Yeah. I'm sure you won't be able to watch anything. Like, there are going to be some shows and stuff that you won't
probably... Actually, you're right. It's only going to be... it's actually... The number of shows is actually quite limited. I mean, they say like something like 20 to 30,000 videos, but they don't account for series, right? Mm-hmm. Like, one series, like one show, can have like 300 episodes. So then, there's not that much variety. And also, go ahead.
Or what they would have is the current season as playing airing.
So the newest episodes, you won't be able to watch it. So you kind of have to like live in another time zone. So yeah, but I think it's worth it. You know, you don't have to watch commercials, and you don't have to wait.
And you get to watch your movies.
Yeah, it's like, as long as you're willing to wait 8 months for your movies, then...
Mm-hmm. But this iTunes service, though, is kind of very appealing. If it's actually true that if you pay 99 cents and you can watch anything for 3 hours.
Yeah, well, I mean, regardless, I don't think I'm actually going to cancel cable service. I might cancel some of the tiers of my cable service so I don't get all those channels. I just maybe like basic cable for the news and weather and things like that, but I'd still have cable. Like, it, you know, TV is still TV, so you know.
Yeah,
it's a different experience, really, between internet TV and TV.
And like cable TV or satellite.
Yeah, and with like, you know, a lot of our internet connections, it craps out every once in a while. So then you don't have internet, you don't have TV, you don't have anything.
Yep.
It's happened to us all the time. I guess
for me, I have no complaints.
Yeah,
I have a good internet connection, fiber optics.
Lucky. Anyways, do you guys have anything else to on this topic or any other topics you want to talk about for tonight?
I don't have anything. Other than, you know, everybody should go and buy StarCraft 2.
Well, I already have it, so you shouldn't be telling me that.
Yeah.
Marcus definitely has to get it. I'm holding out
for a while, seeing how I've got a whole stack of games I still need to go through, so.
Well, yeah, and Marcus has got to get a computer first.
Actually. Yeah.
So that's the thing.
Get an HP computer.
Yeah, screw that. I guess this is our show for tonight. We'll see you in about a week and a half to 2 weeks later once we get enough stuff going on. See you guys later.